It's Friday.
No, it's not.
It's not really Friday, but we used to record these a lot on Friday.
We did.
And now it's Monday. Isn't it Monday?
Today is Monday.
Yeah, okay. So we would have recorded this on Friday. Anyway, this is the GCSE Computing Podcast, Teach GCSE Computing, presented by...
Vicky Dodd. That's at Vicky Vale on Twitter. VickiVille.
Oops. Not Vicky Vile, which is
no,
what my daughter
thought. You can call me Vicky Vile if you like it to be true this week.
And Alan O'Donoghue. I'm at Techno Teacher, TEKNO. So I started recording this a year ago, this podcast.
It was only a year ago. I thought it was longer than that.
And I don't think I'd met you at that point.
No, no? We did, definitely.
Okay.
We had.
Right.
Was it only a year ago you started this?
Yeah,
I thought it was before then.
No, it was when my now year 11 class were in year 10. It was the first episode that we recorded. Or I recorded because I started flying solo to begin with.
Mm. Must have met you because that's why I started teaching the GCSE computing
at
the same time.
Okay, right.
Anyway.
And now you're a fully fledged member of staff at our school.
I am, yes. I have now. I've flown away from Ashton Community Science College, although hello everybody there, and I hope you're all doing okay, and joined you.
Now, do you know this podcast now? They're getting over 1,000 downloads per episode. That's
scary.
It is. So I'm having to be very careful about the...
to what we have to say.
Yeah, I'm having to be very careful about the words that I use now. So I thought I'd like to... There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about what I've been doing with my Year 11s this week.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've done a first full week, haven't we? Because we've had a couple of messages about where are you.
Yeah. That's nice from the fans at home asking. And so I've had my... I've done some stuff with my Year 11s. I also wanted to mention a little bit about GCSE results because we had our first batch of GCSE computing results came through. You're going to tell us a little bit about what you're doing with your Year 10 class.
Yes, yeah? I've got what would have been your Year 10 class, but now they're my Year 10 class.
And we've got a few other things coming up as well, like events like jams and PyCon and hub meetings and all those kind of things. So have you seen the Cambridge OCR GCSE computing course online?
The MOOC?
The MOOC.
The MOOC.
The massive open online course.
I've seen that today. I think they mentioned that at the CAS conference earlier this year, that was the plan.
Yeah.
And now obviously it's all come online. Oh, yeah. It's coming online on September 30th.
That's right. So there is already some materials online that you can go and have a look at, but they've got, because this, I think the plan is to create lots and lots of little videos and films around it, that obviously that's going to take such a long time. So they've got a deadline for what they expect to have, but they're already
by
up.
November, December.
That's
up to
right.
50 videos. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw that this afternoon.
And there was I saw a photograph of a lady I've never seen before. It might be Catherine Logsdon, teacher from London, and she's been helping out with those films.
I didn't see that picture, but it did mention that she was a teacher in London.
So, GCSE results.
Yeah.
When I came
your GCSE
in,
results.
Yeah, when I came in on the 24th of August, I. Bear in mind as well, my son was in my class, so he was coming to collect his GCSE results. I really, really didn't know what to expect.
Were you nervous?
I was. I thought that they were going to be absolutely terrible, and they weren't quite as bad as I thought.
They were very good. No, I'd like to know what the national was. Do we know yet?
With
the GCSE, because this was the first.
I've seen a blog post online it's a forum post on CAS where somebody's talked about nationally. Nationally 60%, 66%, I think, is from what I remember, but I can't remember
exactly.
Are you
mentioning yours or not? Are you not going to mention...
No, well, I keep saying this thing. When you talk about A-star to C-grades, without the context of knowing who was in that class and all the rest, it doesn't actually mean a huge amount. Okay, you can say a school down the road, like they get 62%, and then the school round the corner, they get 23%, and then another school get... So... Mm. Per school, I can see it. But when you say, well, I had a class last year and, were they all expected to get A stars in maths and physics? And if they got A's in your So I think you need a context. So, for example, there was 14 in my class. And of those 14, 12 got the same grades they got in their other GCSEs or better.
Mm-hmm.
And two were one grade lower than their subject average.
Mm-hmm.
So two of them got D grades. But they got D grades in their other subjects as well. We didn't have a lot of A stars. We had a lot of A's, but we had one A star. But it felt good to know that we'd got an A star, because so it means it's possible. So, I was really, really pleased. Especially what made me feel good was the fact that their grades compared to subjects like maths and physics, where those teachers have been teaching that subject for such a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't do a degree in computing science. So it's no. So that, I feel quite pleased.
Are you
going
to say the percentage A-star to C in class? I know what it is, I think.
I thought, was it 82? No.
78.
78, okay. Ah, because there was one child in the class who halfway through year 10 had a nasty accident and never came back to school, but he still wanted to go ahead and sit the GCSE, so he submitted next to no coursework and didn't do very well in the exam, but I never saw him in year 11 and all. So anyway, his grade pulls it down to 78, but I think... Anyway, okay, splitting hairs. So you've been teaching GCSE this week.
I have, year 10. And last week,
oh, yeah.
I've had four lessons so far.
So are you doing it in exactly the same way you did?
No. After evaluating the first year of delivery last year over at Ashton with years 9 and 10 and reflecting on what worked well, what didn't, what I decided to do is that I needed to deliver algorithms and kind of planning programs sure. before I did anything else because I found that last year I did that too late because I was a bit too eager just to jump straight in, and that's what the students were expecting. So in all, it's to be honest as well, it's also getting those lessons out of the way. So we're teaching algorithms and flow charts and about pseudocode.
Well, they're still excited about computing.
Well, still, okay, so what are we really doing, miss? But the way I have done that is obviously defining what is an algorithm. And I actually took this from Phil Bagg. Hello, Phil. Write out the algorithm for making a jam sandwich.
And that, there's a video online.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic because he ends up with jam all over his face and butter in his...
I didn't do that. I did consider it, yeah. But I thought you might not be too happy with jam all over your classroom and in your carpet.
It depends if it was raspberry jam.
I did consider getting the miniature jars
yeah.
and giving them all two pieces of bread... And then a little bit of butter and, one of them packets of butter, the little miniature ones, and some jam, a little jar of jam, and saying, right, okay, let's have a go.
This.
I did think about it, but then I thought, I don't think Alan needs... He has a thing about glue being on the tables and on the carpet, so I thought he won't really like the jam.
So you got them to write out an
algorithm? So they wrote out the steps, but then what I then got them to do is they had to explain it to each other and how it would work, and then question them, okay, so... What you're going to spread the butter with? What you're going to spread the jam with? Things like that.
And do they have to go down to the level of pick up a knife? How do you pick up a knife?
Well, then
reach forward.
I didn't take it that far, but just getting them to understand. Okay, what you've done there is very basic. But if you were to follow those instructions or give those instructions to say a robot or a computer, what would actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then we also from that, I gave them some basic algorithms of drawing shapes. And they implemented them. I asked them to implement them in Scratch or Python, depending on where their experience lay. And then they did that. So we were using the Python Turtle module for some of them who have got more experience. And
did you touch on as well this concept of ambiguity? Because with algorithms, they're making a jam sandwich.
Yeah.
The problem is if there's ambiguity. So if you say, pick up some butter. Does it mean the packet? Does it mean a lump of butter? Does it mean 2 grams, 10 grams?
Yeah, so whereas, it was the clarity that they have to be precise instructions for, and definitely for a computer. And then today I did flowcharts. So they were actually putting the raspberry jam algorithm that they'd already done into a flowchart.
The jam sandwich.
Sorry, yeah, the jam sandwich algorithm that they'd already done into a basic flowchart. And that will lead into following a flowchart to create a program in Python or Scratch again. That then tells them that they smell a fart.
I can see that appealing to that particular
class.
Yeah. I suppose there's a worry that if you just start teaching programmed solutions to problems straight away, that they're going to think, oh, every time a problem comes along, I have to jump straight into actually coding.
That's what I found last time.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the controlled assessment, there's obviously quite a lot of marks
for
planning and design.
That's right, it's
waited for that, yes. So that's why I found last year I did it too late, because then they perceived it as not a necessary step in the process, but as an inconvenience.
Did you notice that there's been a post on the CAS forum, the Computing School forum, all about a teacher is asking... What's happened is a child has spotted a coded solution online, and what do I do? We haven't got time to go into all of that now, but that's quite a good discussion.
That's bound
online.
To happen, though, with things like GitHub and all the others where you can actually download. Right. You can't stop kids uploading or anybody uploading solutions to problems, and these are pretty generic solutions anyway.
No, you can't. So what have you done about homeworks, actually?
Homeworks, I started off with the theory, so I got them to draw out what they perceived or understood a computer system to be. So starting off with the theory of what is a computer system, mm-hmm. which is the first thing in the specification. But rather than delivering that in class, taking your lead, they've kind of flipped classroom model. And some of those today said, well, I've just drawn a computer, a desktop mm-hmm. computer. And I've said that, well, that's about your understanding. Yeah. That understanding will develop over time. So I'll introduce that as well. But today, I've actually set homework as creating a Codecademy account using their school email, if they haven't mm-hmm. already done it, and sending me their usernames in Codecademy.
Because you can then monitor that they've been on. You can see what stages they're up to.
Yeah? Progress, mm-hmm. yeah. And also looking at actually setting up a miniature course, tutorials in Codecademy for those who've got less Python experience. And
so the Python course, not the JavaScript one, no?
No, Python. Okay. Because obviously there's division in that
sure.
class. Anyway,
okay.
But also sent them the username and password for using python.com.
Yep.
The website, just to go through so they can see, and it's got instructions there for downloading Python mm-hmm. at home and getting started in IDLE.
It's almost embarrassing how many different resources there are online, because it's because there's just such this abundance of riches, isn't there?
Mm, it's countless.
So I've had my year 11 class these last few lessons, and I've started on the A452, because with OCR there's
the
two
practical investigation
that's
task.
Right. And I've decided to stick with the one I did last year, which is based around the Little Man computer. And if you haven't looked at it, you can go on the OCR site, and there's a specimen task, which is similar to it. So it involves using this Little Man computer. And now, last year, my year 11s I had last year found it pretty tough to get started. So I tried to think of some ways with my current year 11 class to make it a little bit easier to digest. But it was just, I don't know. It almost seemed the easier I tried to make it for them to understand it, the more difficult it became. So today I just decided to stop making it easier and just give them some resources that are online. So OCR suggests a particular Little Man computer simulation. And with that, there's six different exercises.
Yeah.
So today I've said, look, right, we've looked at this, we've looked at the other. Now, start on exercise one. Write down in your books what you've actually done and what the outcome was, and then move on to exercise two. So they don't actually need to complete all six exercises to start on the task. But because they were doing that and there's lots of instructions, it meant I could go around and give some one-to-one support. And I was quite mean today. I didn't allow them to talk to each other. I just said, like, you just got to just get through this no matter how. You just got to get through it. And it has been tough because there's loads of new terms in there. So we're talking about things like assembler, opcodes, mnemonics, accumulators, and it's not like anything they've used before. So however, by the end of today's lesson, the pennies seem to be dropping.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just necessarily to do with the fact that some children are able to grasp these things more easily. There were some that I was surprised hadn't got it, and others were just racing ahead. So we're going to be at a point, I think, within a couple of lessons where we're ready to actually start the controlled assessment. At the moment, we're just figuring out what does it do, this Little Man computer, and how does it work. So I'll mention more on that.
Have they done the theory of machine code?
Von Neumann architecture.
Yeah.
So back a while ago, mm-hmm. I don't remember, we recorded a podcast where we talked about things like fetching, decoding, execution, instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, because this model, it doesn't look like a computer. It looks almost like a spreadsheet.
It does.
You know, we're using things like mailboxes and loading and adding and subtracting from the mailbox, to the accumulator and from the accumulator. That it's just using all this new terms. They've found it a bit tough. But I didn't record the podcast last week because I was pretty depressed at how tough they were finding it. But
I was pretty depressed as well, starting with algorithms.
Yeah. But actually, I do feel a lot more optimistic today, having seen them react to it in the way they did. So they seem to be getting. So I've set up a new page in my spreadsheet, which is tinyurl.com/10aco1, And I've put the links to everything that we're using in tinyurl.com/10acomputing. They've complained because it says 10, and they said, we're in year 11 now, sir. So, but I said, oh, it'll probably stay 10 all the way through because that's what it is in the podcast. So we've got so many events coming up in the next few weeks.
Huge,
it's incredible.
Number.
We're all over the place.
Next weekend is very busy.
We're going to be doing all the Dragonfly training. Yeah. Got London, Birmingham, and Cardiff, I think. I'm not sure about that one.
I think Cardiff's been switched.
We've got them coming up. And then we've got CAS Hub meetings all over. We haven't published our Preston one yet, but we've got a primary one.
It's a primary one next Monday at St. Ignatius. Preston primary CAS Hub, because it's a bit pointless for primary teachers to come to our CAS Hub meetings, if you like, because it obviously gets quite high level.
They'd be very welcome and they'd be friendly.
But they perhaps wouldn't get the support or it perhaps wouldn't be as worthwhile. So we've set up a primary CAS Hub meeting. Tickets are available on Eventbrite for that.
And Wirral, I'm going over to an event, I think, on the 9th of October in Wirral. And Victoria Tatler, she's launching a Wirral CAS Hub over there. Salford are going to be launching a CAS Hub as well.
Yeah.
Soon, as well as the Manchester one.
In November.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And then this weekend, it's the PyCon UK conference. So the PyCon UK conference happens every year. And I don't know, it's about £175, I think, if you get the early bird to go. But they did a special education deal where you can pay just £35 to go along if you're a teacher. And Nicholas Tolliver, he's organising that. And you're taking part, aren't you?
I'm there from Friday to Sunday, yes.
You're a real glutton for punishment.
Well, to be honest, it's because the programme looks so good for the Friday because they've got intermediate Python training going on.
And it starts Friday morning.
And it starts early Friday morning. And then in the afternoon, I think they've got some basic Python programming as well. Training. Yeah, it's Friday.
The education track on the Saturday.
Saturday is the education track.
And then the Sunday.
Well, on the Saturday as well, just what's going on the Saturday is obviously the education track. There's Python in the curriculum. There's Minecraft, Python programming using Minecraft. There's Python programming in Blender.
And there's a dojo afterwards where you get to work with Python software developers who are keen to support education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, Carrie Ann Philbin came. She can't go this year. She's at the Cambridge Raspberry Jam on the Saturday. And speaking of Raspberry Jams, on the Sunday, we have a Raspberry Jam also in Coventry. It's not quite full. I think there's still a few spaces. We've got a lot of children coming to that one.
Excellent.
I think we've got 20 children signed up and adults come for free. It's £5 for a child. And we're not selling the children for £5. It's £5 to bring your child along. And and we'll have lots of Python developers there as well. So it's really, really good opportunities to
needs more teachers to come along at the moment. Yeah. For £35, I think it'd be quite a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. I think Nicholas was a little disappointed that they didn't get quite as many teachers as they'd hoped.
Mm.
I don't know why, because it's actually really, really helped me gain my understanding to go there. And they also, the one thing that I found really nice about that community is they don't have this kind of, well, that's a really stupid question. Why are you asking that? It's actually, you know, so that's really, really helped me. Right, we'll wrap it up. That's about 20 minutes.
Wow, that's the first one. Many more to come.
Yeah, for 2013-14.
Oh.
All right, well, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Vicky Vill, V-I-K-K-I-V-I-L-L-E, and
Alan O'Donoghue, that's techno teacher, T-E-K-N-O teacher.
Okay.
Bye.